Morning, everybody. Okay. Samanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata. Saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokhadam. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Okay, today I would like to share with you one sutta from Anguttara Nikaya 3.60, Sangharawa Sutta. This very interesting sutta, and some question even raised by lay people today. Okay, let us see what is the content of the sutta. Okay, and this Sangharawa, Sangharawa Sutta. Sangharawa is a Brahma. One day he approached a Blessed One and asked a question, very interesting question. He said that we Brahma, Brahmin family, Brahma, perform sacrifices. We perform sacrifices, a sacrifice ceremony, we slaughter animals, worship the God. Because Hindu, believe in Maha Brahma. So we worship the God. And we also urge other people to do this sacrifice. And this practice of sacrificing gains high merit. And countless beings are benefited. But for you, he said to the Buddha, for you, a person who goes forth from home to homeless life, he only tames his single self. He only benefits himself. Only he himself attained Nibbana. So this practice of going forth, become monk, become nun and become monk, this practice only benefit one person, not benefit countless beings. Nowadays, many people also say, you going forth, you become monk and nun, is very selfish. You do not you do not perform your duty as son and daughter to your own family. You only benefit yourself. This is selfish act. Even nowadays, we tell the same thing. So the Sangharawa raised this question to the Blessed One. And Buddha answered, okay, Buddha said, let me cross-question you. He said that I previously was Prince Siddhartha, and I went from home to homeless. I went forth, and I practiced the Noble Eightfold Path. By practicing this Noble Eightfold Path, I attained unbinding, or I attained Nibbana, the peace and the happiness and the bliss. And after I experience it myself, after I attain the highest happiness, I experience it myself, I expound it to other people. I urge other people to follow the same path. So by following the same path, hundreds of people attain the highest happiness, the end of all suffering. Not only thousands of people, not only thousands, hundred thousands, billions of people, by walking this path, by following the path I show, they attained eternal peace, the end of suffering. If it's so, is this path going forth may benefit one person or benefit countless beings? What's your answer? Countless beings, right? So Sangharawa also said, if it is the case, then this going forth benefited countless beings. Now he was convinced. Previously he said that we Brahma perform sacrifice, sacrificing, chanting, we benefit countless beings. And you going forth only benefit yourself. But after Buddha cross-questioned him, then he was convinced. Going forth is much better. Not only for himself, not only for one person, but for the benefit and welfare of countless beings. And at the time, Ananda was there. Then Ananda told the Sangharawa, he said that, Brahma Sangharawa, what do you think? Of these two practices, one is sacrifice, another one is going forth. Of these two practices, which one appear to you less violent, less complicated, and more fruitful and more rewarding? Less violent because when you slaughter the animal, it's very violent, bloodshed. So Venerable Ananda asked him, and you see how Sangharawa answered. Sangharawa said, with Master Gautama and Venerable Ananda, I worship both. I worship them and I worship both. This is not a question Venerable Ananda asked. Right? Venerable Ananda asked him, of this practice, which one is more rewarding? Which one is less violent? And Sangharawa said, I worship and praise both Venerable Ananda and Venerable Gautama. So Ananda said that, oh, Brahma, I didn't ask you whom you praise and whom you worship. I ask you of these two practices, which one is more fruitful, more rewarding, and which one is less violent and less complicated? And for the second time, Sangharawa Master Gautama and Master Ananda, I praise both and I worship both. And second time, Ananda asked him again. And the third time, he gave the same question. So Buddha said that, Buddha thought to himself, being asked three times by Venerable Ananda a legitimate question, Sangharawa tried to evade it, and does not answer. They all know. So Buddha said, let me got out of him from this dilemma. Try to save him. If not, we say, no face. I cannot answer. He cannot. He already convinced that the going forth is more fruitful, but just like tearing his own face, because in the first hand, he already said that sacrifice is better. Sacrifice benefit all beings. And you going forth only benefit one person. That's why he cannot admit his own mistake. So he tried to lead the question away, aside. So Buddha tried to save him. Then Buddha asked him, okay, Sangharawa, today in your lawyer court, What conversation? What conversation that arise? Because this Sangharava just come from the palace, so they have conversation among themselves, among all the minister and lawyer people. Then Sangharava said that today our conversation is we talk about a psychic power. A question raised is, is it nowadays? Is it olden day? There are less monks, but more endowed with psychic powers. But nowadays, there are more monks, but less monk endowed with psychic power. When Buddha first attained enlightenment, he preached to the five bhikkhu, and after that to a group of more than 3,000 people, Mahakasapa. They all got psychic power. Then later on, Mahamangalana and also Sariputta and so on. So most like Anuruddha, most people got psychic power. But as time goes on, more and more people enter into Buddha's dispensation and become monk, more monk, but less monk endowed with psychic power. So this is our conversation. Then Buddha said, you talk about psychic power. Okay, he said that there are three types of psychic power. Number one is called Iriveda psychic power. Number two is called psychic power of reading other people's mind. Number third, psychic power is psychic power of instruction, giving instruction to others. So there are three types of psychic power. The first one, Iriveda, what is the range of the psychic power? In this, anyone who possesses this psychic power, he can fly in the sky, sitting cross-legged. He can go through in the sky without any hindrance. And also he can dive into earth and come out from the earth as if were water. Or he can go through the wall, go through the mountain without any hindrances. And also he can create, with him, one person, he can create thousands forms. For example, one Sari Susila can create thousand Sari Susila. And this psychic power is performed by Chula Pandaka. Have you heard about Chula Pandaka? Chula Pandaka, he is before he became Arahant, he was very dull, very low intelligent. And his brother is Arahant. So every time his brother tried to teach him some verses of Buddha's teaching, but he cannot remember even one verse. So his brother get very disappointed and give him up, has no more interest to teach him. So this Chula Pandaka feel very downhearted. And one day, Buddha got psychic power, knowing people's mind. So Buddha appear in front of him and give him a piece of cloth. And try this piece of cloth and, how to say? Sapu, how to call? Rub your body. So he rub his body. After rubbing, sometimes his cloth became dirty. So from that, he start to understand. The dirtiness of this cloth, just like the deformation of the mind. The deformation of the mind, the corruption of the mind, the deformations of mind need to be rubbed as well. Without rubbing the deformation of the mind, a person cannot become pure. A person cannot become clean and pure. So he start to understand, and the insight arose. The insight arose in him. And at this time, Buddha give him further instruction, and he became Arahant. At that time, Buddha and a group of monks were invited to receive offering of food. And while a lay person was trying to put the food into Buddha's bowl, and Buddha closed the bowl. Closed, doesn't want to receive the food. And the lay person was surprised. What's the reason? Buddha said that there's a monk left in the monastery. You got to invite him to come and receive the offering together. And this monk is called Chulapandaka. So this layman said, okay, I will go and invite. So when he went to the monastery, Chulapandaka used his psychic power, create thousands of Chulapandaka. So when this person arrived in the monastery, he asked, who is Chulapandaka? And 1,000 people answer, I am Chulapandaka. Thousands voice, I am Chulapandaka. And this lay person was puzzled, don't know whom he should invite. And he went back to monastery and asked the Buddha. Buddha said, the first person who answer, the one who I am Chulapandaka, he is the real one. You invite that one. So for the second time, he went there and follow Buddha's instruction, he got the real Chulapandaka and all the 9,000 Chulapandaka disappeared, except the real one. Okay, so this the psychic power can create 1,000 form, 1,000 same form of one person. Okay, so there are many, many different types of Idiveda psychic power. What I share is only few. Okay, so he said that this is the first psychic power, it's called Idiveda psychic power. The second psychic power is called reading other people's mind. So by listening to, by seeing a vision or a sign, this person can read the other person's mind. So this is your thinking. Just now you think in this way. This is your thinking. And what he say is exactly what the person thought of. This is called reading other people's mind. Another one is by hearing the voice of a human being, hearing a voice of Deva, non-Deva, and so on, then he can know what is his mental state, what is he thinking about. Then he will say out, and it's exactly the same what he thought of, what the person thought of. And this is, maybe it's not without concentration. The third one is with concentration with jhana. Third jhana, fourth jhana, especially fourth jhana. So he entered into fourth jhana, then he can, he is able to encompass the other person's mental state of mind with his. Then he will know just now what you are thinking of and so on. So this is called the psychic power of reading other people's mind. And the third one, the psychic power of giving instruction. The psychic power of instruction. And this one, Buddha said, so this person is able to tell, to give instruction, like attend to this one. Attend to this thought. Direct your mind to this thought. For example, direct your mind to Four Noble Truths. The noble truth of suffering. What is the noble truth of suffering? Aging, sickness, death. Some more. Disassociate with loved one. Associate with unloved one. Cannot get what one. In short, five aggregates of clinging are the truth of suffering. What are the five aggregates of clinging? Form, aggregate, there are five. Form, aggregate, feeling, aggregate, formation, aggregate, perception, aggregate, and consciousness, aggregate. And this five aggregates become the subject of our clinging. We cling to five aggregates as my. For example, my body. Body is composed of four elements. Why? Four elements. Pathavi Apo Tejo Vayo. Pathavi, earth element. Apo, water element. Pathavi Apo Tejo, fire element. Vayu, wind element. So the body consists of four elements, and these four elements is keep on changing. These four elements change all the times. What is changing is non-self. What is changing according to its cause and condition cannot be called a permanent self. We cannot say they are mine, right? If you say they are mine, it means that you can exercise controlling power. You can exercise the power of control that I don't want my body become sick. I don't want my body become old. I don't want my body feeling pain. But we cannot. We cannot control. We cannot exercise the power of control towards our own body. Therefore, the body are not a self and it's not mine. If it belongs to you, it means that you can control it. But we can't control it, therefore we cannot say the body is mine. Similarly, our feeling. Yeah, we have three types of feeling, right? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. So in a day, if you can check your own feelings, in a day, the feeling changed at least 100 times. One day, 100 times. From unpleasant to pleasant, from pleasant to unpleasant, keep on changing. And we cannot control. We cannot control them. For example, early in the morning when you open your eyes, you say that, today I just want to have pleasant feeling. No unpleasant feeling should arise from my mind. Can you do it? Fei, we cannot do it. Because feeling come from pleasant contact. Pleasant feeling come from pleasant contact. But when you go out, especially you go out to the work. The moment the eye come to contact with a person you do not like, then unpleasant feeling arises. And when the eye come to contact a person you like, unpleasant feeling arises. So the feeling arises and change all the time. You just can't control it, but you can be aware of it. Aware of it. Practice mindfulness. Aware of whatever feeling that arises in the mind, and contemplate it as impermanent, not a self. It's just a phenomena produced by causes. So if we can contemplate in this way, then we can go beyond the unpleasant feeling as well as pleasant feeling. So this five aggregate of clinging, form, feeling, formation, perception and consciousness, they become the subject of our craving. We crave for them, or we crave to them as mine, and we identify them as myself. We identify the body as myself, we identify the feeling as myself, we identify our consciousness as myself. So if we identify as myself, when they change, what you think is myself, but when it changes that beyond your control, then you feel suffering, you feel pain, sorrow, and so on. Therefore, Buddha said, you should direct your mind to this, the truth of suffering, and understand the suffering nature, the inherent nature in this five aggregate. So direct your thought in this way. Don't direct your thought to five aggregate as pleasant, as happiness, as self. If you direct your thought to five aggregate as happiness, what will happen to your mind? What will happen to your mind? When you feel something that can give you happiness, you will develop attachment, right? More and more attachment, more and more craving. So you will crave for your body, your feeling, your consciousness, and so on, more and more. And we should understand the attachment, the craving, is the origin of all suffering. It's the origin of all suffering. So if we crave more and more to our five aggregate, it means that we suffer more and more, more and more. Therefore, Buddha say, direct your thought to five aggregate as suffering, as impermanent, as not a self. Don't direct your thought to the five aggregate as happiness, as permanent, as a self. And Buddha also say, attend to the Noble Eightfold Path, attend to this path, walk this path. If you walk this path, you can reach the end of all suffering. I believe all of you know the Noble Eightfold Path. So I'm not here to explain you the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay. So this is the then Buddha say, attend to wholesomeness. Then Buddha say, this instruction is what is called wholesomeness, what is called unwholesomeness, and avoid unskillfulness, unwholesomeness, avoid evil and do good, purify your mind, and so on. So this is called the psychic power of instruction. Okay, then the Buddha first asked a question. Let me ask you first. Among this three, psychic power can fly in the sky without visa, without passport, without aeroplane. And of course, appear here immediately, you can vanish here and appear in another country faster than aeroplane, right? Aeroplane, you have to check in, wait for the air ticket, air crash again. It takes long time. But with this psychic power, you want yourself vanish here, then you reappear in another country. This is called the power of psychic power. And the second one is reading other people's mind. And the third one is psychic power of instruction. So among these three, which one appear to you more sublime, better? Last one. Malaysians are highly intelligent. So the Sangharawa said that the first one, psychic power, is very powerful, but it appears to me like illusion, like not real one, like illusion. And also it benefits only one person. And the second one, reading other people's mind, appear to me also like illusion. And it also benefits one person only. But the third one, third one is very powerful and it benefits countless beings. Therefore, I say that third one, the psychic power of instruction, is more sublime. It's much more, it's better than anyone. Then Sangharawa said that Master Gotama, I believe that you end up with these three psychic power. And Buddha said that you have offended me by this personal statement. Because we cannot ask monk, do you have psychic power? Do you have this? Have you attained Nibbana? No, it's very offending. So Buddha say, your word is very offending, offensive. Nevertheless, I will answer you. Yes, I endowed with these three psychic powers. Then the Sangharawa asks again, how about, is it you are the only one who has this psychic power, who have this psychic power? How about others, monk? Other monks, other nuns? And the Buddha said, not only hundreds of monks endowed with these three psychic powers, thousands, hundred thousands. And Sangharawa was very excited. Where are they now? Where are they now? Then the Buddha said that in my community, because Buddha is still alive, he has huge community of arahant, like Mahamangarana. Not only three psychic powers, six psychic power. Now we have six psychic power. Buddha only mentioned three. So a monk in my community, 100,000 monks endowed with these three psychic powers. And Sankara was very happy, inspired, was inspired by Buddha's explanation and also by the community led by him. And finally, he became the follower of the Buddha. So this is the sutta, this is the Sangha, this is the content of Sankarava Sutta. I cut it short because I want to give time for question and answer.